3, text number 23. Yadi Yam Navarteya Jatu Karman Yatan Vitaha Mama Vartman Vartante Manushya Parta Sarvacha. It is understood that Lord Krishna was performing all the religious duties at home and out of home as required of a householder. Yadi hayam na varteyam jatu karman yatam vritaha mama vartmanu vartante manushyam parta sarvachaha. Krishna here is explaining why he acts like an ordinary human being. Why does he obey the laws of civilized behavior when he has no obligation to? He just said in the previous verse, Name Kartasti Kartavyam. I have no duty to perform. This is a unique position. This distinguishes God from everybody else. We all have many obligations, duties. We have, unless we're under 5 years old, we have duties. Even a 5-year-old boy has to go to school. And you may be 25 years old and still going to school. And then, when you're done with that, then you have to start actually working for money. Hardly anybody is free from that kind of obligation. You may not have that particular obligation, but everyone has got some kartavya. Some things that he's required to do in this world. But Krishna claims, I don't have any obligations. I just do what I want to do. Therefore, the activities of the personality of Godhead are not called karma, properly speaking. The activities of the Supreme Lord are called his lila. His sport, his play, God doesn't have to work. There was one, Prabhupada told about one British scholar who came to India, and he visited a museum, or maybe it was even in England, he was visiting a British museum in London, and he saw an exhibition of murtis, different deities of different gods, from India. And he saw that Indra was riding on his elephant, holding his thunderbolt in battle. Suryadeva was on his chariot, riding around on Manasotra Mountain, lighting the whole universe. Other demigods were doing their work. Everybody was working, doing some job. And then he saw the deity of Venu Gopal, Krishna. What is he doing? Sitting on a rock, playing his flute, and some cow is sitting next to him. Sitting in a field, doing nothing, just playing his flute. And that scholar, although he knew nothing about Indian culture, nothing about Hinduism, he said, oh, this must be God. Everyone else is working hard in some capacity. This one, he's just playing. That must be God. And he was right. Krishna says, I don't have any duty, which means that everything, not that he does nothing, but everything he does is his enjoyment. He likes to do what he does. He doesn't do anything he doesn't have to do. I mean, he doesn't have, yes, he doesn't have anything that he has to do. But here he says, I act dutifully anyway. I have my duties. God has a special duty. What are they? Parijanaya sadhunam vinashaya chatushkritam. Dharma samstapanarthaya. Nobody's made me do anything, but I have accepted these duties on my own initiative, Krishna says. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Just like a man goes to work every morning, or a boy goes to school every morning, Krishna gets up every millennium and goes to work as his avatar. One avatar or another, but he's a different person each day. We go to work, we have to put the same suit on, or the students put on the same jeans and pick one of their shirts. You only have a few shirts, a few jeans, you put something on. Basically the same clothes every day, same role. And the man who has to go to the office, it's the same every day. Wears a white shirt, maybe in his job he has to wear a tie. I worked in AT&T, one of the biggest companies in the world. I worked for them as a consultant programmer for some months. And there was dress code. The warehouse workers could wear jeans and anything. The technicians had to wear a white shirt, the computer programmers. And then if you were a manager, then you had to wear a tie and a jacket. Standard. And the same thing every day. But Krishna puts on a different body every millennium. Not only a different suit or a different costume, but he assumes different avatars. Every time he appears, it's in a different personality. As a fish, as a Brahmana, as a Kshatriya. Anything he wants to be. All 8,400,000, 84 lakhs of species of life. He appears in every one of them as different avatars, not just 10. Yata vidyasina kuryat sarasa siu sahasra sashaha avatara kiya sankhyaya harer satvarnide vijaha. O Brahmanas, Sukha Goswami says, don't you know, don't think that we're going to run out. We will exhaust the stock of things to talk about. That we describe the Dasha avatars and there will be nothing left to talk about God. God doesn't just have 10 avatars, Vishnu. He has countless, asankhyaya, cannot be counted. Even in the millions and billions you cannot count how many different forms God appears in. Like the small tributaries that all flow into a big river. You cannot count them all. So the Lord appears differently in each age. And he performs wonderful pastimes. And he, although he has nothing that he has to do, although everything he does is his free enjoyment, his lila. But for our good, for our benefit, the personality of Godhead accepts voluntarily these obligations. Parijanaya sadhunam. To save his devotees from danger. Vinashaya chatushkritam. And to destroy the envious demons who are harassing the devotees. And trying to promote irreligion and atheism. Dharma samstapanarthaya. And to re-establish when necessary the proper principles of religion. Sambhavami yuge yuge. I appear in the material world in each age over and over again. This is Krishna's self-imposed obligations. He chooses out of love, out of compassion, to do these things. But also, as he claims here, to set an example. If I was inactive, if I did nothing, if I didn't accept some sense of, if I didn't have a sense of obligation, of responsibility, if I didn't behave responsibly, Krishna says, then everyone else would follow my bad example. The words he used, mama vart manu vartam te, manushat parta sarva shaha. These are exactly the same words that Krishna used elsewhere in the Gita. Mama vart, he said elsewhere, everybody parta. As they yeyatam mamha padyam te, samstataiva pajamyaham, mama vart manu vartam te, manushat parta sarva shaha. Everyone is working for me. But I don't deal with each and every person the same way. He says, yeyatam mamkapajyante. As someone approaches me, I reciprocate with them accordingly, correspondingly. If someone loves me, then I'll be able to show him love in exchange. But if someone neglects me, I cannot do the same. I can give my full mercy and behave very kindly and intimately with a devotee who can exhibit love to me. But one who ignores me or is inimical to me, I have to deal with that person in a different way. So Krishna, if you ignore Krishna, you're showing him you want nothing to do with him. So he will respond by having apparently nothing to do with you. You ignore him, he will pretend to ignore you. Because that's what you're showing, that's what you want. You want no relationship. Okay, God will give you no relationship. But actually he cannot. Because he's our Father. He's, oh Lord who art in heaven. We consider God our Father. He is. This is not only Christian religion, this is also the Vedic religion. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. There is one special living being who is different than all the other living beings. Everybody, all of us, we are all eternal living beings. And we are all conscious. That's sat and chit. And you can add ananda. We all have the potency and the urge to enjoy pleasure. That doesn't make us God. We are such a ananda, but we are small sample, small particle of God, not God himself. Because God is different. He's eternal, we're eternal. He's conscious, we are conscious. He's pleasure-seeking, and so are we. But eko, bahuna, yovidinati kama. He's the one person who supplies the needs and the desires of everyone else. And none of us can claim that position. You can dream about merging into the existence of God, but you cannot become God. You cannot become the desire, fulfiller of everyone that exists. You're not capable of it. You're not God. We're not God. Only God is God. And you cannot become God. Not by just a mental adjustment, a mental exercise of imagining that you are God. You do not become God. Any more than a poor beggar sitting in the prison who's not being allowed his freedom because he's supposedly a criminal. So he can imagine, I'm the king of this kingdom. I can walk out of here anytime I want. He can sit there and hallucinate that he's the king, but he's still in prison and he's not getting out that way. Never, by imagining that you're free, will you be free. You have to actually earn your freedom. The authorities who put you there, if they choose, they can let you out. So you please the authorities, you can get out.
Mami vaye papadyante maya me tam sadamkite.
The devotees who approach me submissively and devote themselves to my service, they are granted release from the bondage of illusion.
Mani vayeka prajante, those who take shelter of me.
Otherwise, you cannot become liberated. You certainly cannot become God just by imagination, by thinking it. You don't become God.
So there's one person who's different than everybody else, the personality of Godhead.
Eko bhuvanam yo vididati kama.
He is supplying the desires and needs of everyone else.
And he says, yeyatam mampapajante.
Those who recognize that fact, they can actually develop a relationship with me. I can deal with them personally.
There can be a relationship of love between the Lord and one who recognizes his supremacy and appreciates him for what he is.
And those who choose to ignore him or even actively hate him, he has to reciprocate with them in different ways.
But always for their benefit. Always to bring them around to the correct understanding, some way or another.
This entire material creation, with all of its sufferings, all of its restrictions and frustrations, is so designed intentionally by the supreme intelligence of God to teach us that we should not try to enjoy and control separately from Him, but that we should again reinstate ourselves in His loving service and get out of this world, get out of this material predicament.
So Krishna, he comes to this world to deliver his devotees, to remove the obstacles of these demoniac antagonists of his devotees, and to, if necessary, himself teach religious principles if nobody else can do it. But he also explains in this verse that he comes to set an example, how a proper person should behave. Not that we imitate everything God does.
Krishna was an ideal grihastha when he was living in Dwarka.
He showed how a king, a prince, should be responsible as a householder and as a ruler.
In his other incarnations, he also showed ideal example.
But not everything God does is to be imitated.
You know, we cannot imitate Krishna in his Rasa Lila dancing with other men's wives, hundreds and thousands of gopis.
This you should not try to imitate.
And if you want to do that, then you also have to be able to lift the Govardhan Hill in one finger.
If you can do that, lift the 80 kilometer long mountain on one finger, then you can try dancing Rasa-lila with other men's wives.
But actually these things are not to be imitated.
Even what a great devotee may do is not always to be imitated.
Still, very often Krishna, especially in some of his incarnations, like as Lord Ramachandra,
certainly in the form of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Raghunath,
he always acted properly, in such a way that other people could follow that example.
Those who need for God to be well behaved, they like to worship Lord Ram.
To worship Krishna, you have to be a little more tolerant and let him be, you know, ill behaved when he chooses.
It takes a little more intelligence and a little more tolerance to worship Krishna.
But anyway, Krishna sets an example. If I don't behave responsibly, but everybody has different responsibilities.
Your responsibility is to go to school. Someone else has got an important job he has to go and do his work every day. Someone else is a professor in the university, he has to go do that work. Someone's an artist and he has to paint paintings. That's his contribution to society. And Krishna, he's God. It's another job. But his job has special obligations. He's got to maintain every living entity in creation. Although he's not, the demigods are doing this work for him, but he's got to control the demigods. He's got to keep them under control. And he's got to save his devotees. He has to see that the principles of religion are always maintained properly, and if necessary, fight with demons and destroy them. These are the special occupational duties of God. And he does them very nicely, in a very exemplary way. So, in that sense, even though Krishna may behave in, unusual ways that you wouldn't want to imitate, still, in general, God is always there performing these basic duties that are the special occupational duties of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says here, if I didn't do that, then people would get a wrong idea and would also imitate me and become irresponsible. So you, Arjuna, certainly you should do your duty. I've made you a kshatriya. I put you on this battlefield by my arrangement. Now go ahead and fight. Don't worry about the results. Just serve as my devotee and do your duty. And everything will turn out perfectly. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Sir, can a person at a time both God and a man?
Can one person be both God and a man? Well, God can act like a man. But an ordinary man cannot become God.
Man cannot become a God.
No.
At any moment of time.
Ever. Because God is God. God is infinite. He's everything. And we're just very small. The infinitesimal cannot become infinite. You can't become God. You can become... What we can become is perfect servants of God. You're not the master, you're a servant. That's your situation. But you can become perfect servants. And the perfect servant enjoys better than the master. The rich man, he worked hard to make all that money. And because he has chores, he has a fabulous house and a staff of 100 servants, and they cook fabulous meals, and he has big banquets, and all those friends come, for dinner every night. But the servants in the kitchen, they're eating the same food. The master eats, and then the servants sit in the kitchen and eat the same food. They get to enjoy the facilities of the master by being servants in the house. They live in the same nice house with air conditioning and everything else, and they eat the same food. So if you become a servant of God, you can eat the same food that he eats. This is called Krishna's prasada. You can eat all the food that God eats. And you can even live in the same house with God if you want.
Then what is called avatar? What
avatar? Avatar is God himself. Not that a man becomes God. That's not avatar. What does the word mean? It means to descend. Avatri means to come down. Not to go up, but to come down. So it's not when a man rises to the position of God. It's when God descends himself to our position. He comes down here to show himself. Not we go up, but he comes down. That's what the word means. So God comes into our world so that we can associate with him. God is infinite. But if God appears filling up the whole universe, how can we talk to him or do anything with him? So he comes the same size as us. He puts himself in a medium size. If he appears as small as the atom, we won't find him. And if he appears as big as the universe, we won't be able to see him anyway or do anything with him. But when he appears the same size as us, Then we can have a relationship with us. And he can do that. That's avatara. He comes into our world and fits our shape so we can have a relationship with him. That's avatara. We don't become God. The God appears like us so we can have his company. Okay?
All right.
Any, yes. Okay.
Yes.
It's a long story. Because Lord Ramachandra was the whole mood of his pastime as Lord Ramachandra is to be dutiful, to be a perfect king and follow all the obligations. One of the obligations of a king is that his reputation must be pure. If anybody criticizes the king, he has to answer that criticism. You know, he can't just say, I'm the king, you shut up. If someone has a criticism, he has to answer it. So someone was criticizing. Look at this. You know, he was criticizing, the man was talking to his own wife. Where did you go last night? You were not in the house. What are you, some prostitute? You know, I'm not letting you back in the house. Get out of here. I'm not going to be like Lord Ram, who let his wife back after another man took her. And Ramachandra sent his spies out, and they heard that and reported. This man is criticizing that he doesn't want his wife to be like Sita, who left and went to another man's house and now comes back. So Ramachandra is thinking, I have to correct my reputation. So if a man cannot let his wife back when he's been in another man's house, then I have to tell her to leave. This is my dharma, I have to do it. So he, because that's the duty, that the king, you know, the queen has to be spotless reputation. So therefore she's gone away, she's been in Ravana's house. You cannot stay here anymore. He had to exile her. Oh, but this is right. And then, she insisted, no, I am pure. I was not touched by Ravana. He never touched me. So to prove her purity, she said, I'll enter the fire, and you see. And then, you see Agnidev carrying her out of the fire. Do you know the real story? This is described in the Kurama Purana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself discovered this story, or some Brahmana showed it to him, that when Ravana never even took Sita away, that a Maya Sita was created by Agnidev. Agnidev produced this Maya Sita for Ravana to steal. He stole the imitation Sita. Sita was never taken away by Ravana. Agnidev took the real Sita and kept her under protection all this time. And then, when that test came, and Sita entered the fire, that was Maya Sita going, and Agnidev came out with the real Sita. You know, and then she entered here again. You know, but that's part of the story. Because Lord Ram, his attitude was, I must perfectly follow all my obligations. Even though I fought this whole war to win back my wife from Ravana. But to maintain my principles of religion, now I have to send her away. That was his dharma. Sad. The whole story is sad. Yeah. But that's the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. Okay? How is that? Yes, sir.
Same question from the mind. It is like Lord Ramachandra, when between the battle between Sugriva and Bali, two buddhists. And he, like, as a Satriya, he should have fight with the enemy. Bali will ask help from Rama to battle the Sugriva. And why did Rama I don't understand. Where is the dharma actually as a Satriya? Because of height, and then everybody
I don't remember this. I'm sorry. It's there in the Ramayana. I don't remember all of it. The gist of it is that, yes, you can say that Rama, Lord Rama at that point, violated the duty of a Kshatriya. Because Vali asked for his protection. And instead of protecting him, he arranged to get him shot in the back. He shot him in the back, you know, himself actually. So this is wrong for a Kshatriya. But he was acting on a higher level at that time. He was performing the duty of God. He explained later to Lakshman, when he asked about it, that, I'm sorry, this Vali, because of his past offenses, you know, you don't know what they are, but because of offenses that he committed in his previous lives, this had to happen to him. You know, he had certain sins on his head that he had to suffer for. So, in my position as God, I had to do this. Even though as a Kshatriya I can be blamed. But there's a higher level on which this person, Vali, had to be punished. That he did not deserve to keep the kingdom. And on a higher level, he was wrong, and Sugriva was right. Therefore, I had to protect Sugriva. Anyway, I don't remember all the details of all the arguments he gives. But it basically has to do with the fact that he was acting in the role of God, judging the individual karma of the living entity, rather than as a king just acting according to his ordinary principles. On a higher level, he had to make a different decision. Okay? You can consult the Ramayana for all the details. I don't remember them all. Okay. Okay, any other questions? Alright, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.